Welcome to The Stare Down, sports talk and real estate, with Sean Carpenter of Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, Bill Risser of Fidelity National Title in Tampa, Florida, and Todd Meininger of Cummins, Georgia. Listen in as they discuss the week in sports and toss in a pinch of real estate too. Now your hosts, Sean, Todd and Bill.
Hey, greetings, everybody, and welcome back to our New Year's Eve edition of The Stare Down. If you're listening to this, you're probably in 2018. We are at the end of 2017. I'm Sean Carpenter in Columbus, Ohio, joined by my good friends in a little more tropical climates, Todd Meininger, halfway down the country in Cumming, Georgia, where it's not tropical at all, but Bill Risser in St. Petersburg, Florida. We're looking at him on our webcams over his shoulder. His crystal blue sky, 72 degrees. So we're kind of in the middle right now. I'm at almost zero here in Columbus. Todd's at 36 and Bill's at 72. So we're
exactly middle.
Middle, 0, 36, yeah. 72. Nice.
Yeah. So how are you guys, Todd?
Hey, I'm great, Sean. Holiday season is winding down, New Year's Day tomorrow. And I guess back to work Tuesday. It's crazy. So doing well, though. Thank you.
Good. Bill, how about you, bud?
Good day. Played golf this morning. A little chilly, teed off about 50 degrees, but walked the whole course for the first time this course that we play on Sundays. I grabbed my push cart, did my old man thing, and loved doing it. I just love the feel of, kind of working your way down to the next shot, thinking about things.
You can really pace yourself out so much better.
So cool. So I had a great day there. And now home, just kind of getting a few things together. We're going to meet some friends down on the marina. Watch some fireworks, have some dinner.
But let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a round of golf where you played with a caddy?
I have.
That's awesome, isn't it?
At Pebble Beach. Yeah, of all places, right? So I've played twice there with caddy, and there's nothing better. There's no better feeling in golf, in my opinion. Well, hole-in-one feels pretty good. The second best feeling in golf. Breaking 70 feels pretty good. The third best thing in golf is definitely having a caddy hand you your putter from like 160 yards.
Yeah.
And you're just walking to the green with your putter.
Huh.
As close as they'll ever feel like being a professional golfer.
Yeah. Well, and there's those moments, if it's ever happened, where you chip in or hit it in out of the bunker and you don't even get the putter,
True. I did chip in for birdie on 10 goes down the corner. 11, I went over the back of the green, flopped it over the bunker, and I went in for birdie, my very first round of Pebble, and didn't have to pick up the ball either. Just kind of stood back there and watched it. It was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, Sean, I actually played Bay Hill down in Orlando, and they made us have a caddy. So
that's cool.
I felt really bad. I mean, that must have been his worst caddy. Probably not. I'm sure he's had some really bad ones.
Yeah, as long as you're having fun and you don't get too crazy.
Yeah,
here's
the thing. As a caddy, as long as your player's not a dick, then you're usually pretty cool with it,
John, you caddied as a kid, right?
I did. I caddied quite a bit. And, as long as I didn't get blamed for anything, a lot of times the old members would, you moved in my shot, son. And it's like, well, you shot 106, sir. So it's not like it's not like I caused your bad game, but I appreciate the I'll take the fall, right?
Did you ever double loop? You were too little, probably.
I wasn't. I did at towards the end of my high school career. I did double loop, and sometimes when you would go 36 holes and double loop, man, you were just absolutely exhausted. Because think about when I was caddying, Bill, back in the early 80s.
Right? Yeah, they didn't have those. They didn't have those nice.
They didn't have carry bags. So sometimes I would on Sundays I would do a single loop, but then in the afternoons when the spouses would go out and play, sometimes I would and they'd have a lighter bag, or they would take some clubs out, or take their extra balls out, or something like that.
Hey, Sean, little known fact, Sean and Bill, I actually worked as a greenskeeper. Champions Golf Course in Lexington, Kentucky, or just outside.
At Griffin Gate, or was it?
I'm sorry?
What course were you at? Griffin Gate? Or
Champions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Just outside of Lexington. So that was right after college, Bill. Couldn't get a job, wasn't looking real hard, and you get up early and you're done early. It was a great experience.
That's cool.
Yeah, I worked at my grandpa's course in Jacksonville, Florida. So you're right. You'd be there by 5:15, but then you'd be done about 2:30.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
and they let me go out and play.
And that's my dream job when I'm 72.
So, be a starter.
Working at a golf course. Yep, you got it. Yep.
Not to get sidetracked, but we're allowed to play either Monday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon. I'm assuming Monday. But we were not allowed to address a member unless we were spoken to. I mean, I'm sure you had several things. They didn't really want us looking at the members. but they had I'm not kidding either. And they had a U.S. senior amateur there when I was there. So I actually was part of prepping the course and getting it all ready. And I was on a mower and I scalped one fringe pretty bad.
What day was the day you got to go in the pool?
It was from 12 to 12:15, Caddyshack.
Yeah, that's funny, Caddyshack, when Bill Murray's looking at, oh, Mrs. Green, you're a monkey woman. You're lean and mean and not too firm in between. Spackler, I told you to kill all the golfers.
Well, really, sir?
What does it say? No spitting. No, what does it say? No fighting. There's a rumor out here, guys. We're going to take number one.
Yeah, we're off the rails.
We're way off the
rails. All right, guys, let's so the bowl game. Let's start with our bowl pool because there's two games in play that if they swing my way tomorrow, we could have a tie heading into the last game. I believe I'm two as we stand right now. I believe Bill, you and Todd are tied with 14 misses.
Yeah,
and I have 16 misses.
Yeah,
we have a couple.
Have Follett, Sean, and can we have Follett instead of half empty? How many?
It's 20 wins and 18 wins.
Thank you.
I like saying it that way better.
Okay, there you go. I just went through an account of the losses. So I
just messaged.
Yeah, no, hey, that's all right. So we all have Michigan winning tomorrow, and if that happens, let's start there. The Big Ten will go 8-0.
Wow.
In their bowl games. They've been very impressive. They dominated the Pac-12.
Wonder what Michigan, the odds were, Todd, of taking all Pac. You know, there had to be some bet somewhere, right?
I'm sure.
Pac-10 sweeps 8-0 or Big Ten.
Big Ten,
yeah.
Sean, I think maybe you commented or we read on social media, but God, there's been so many years where the Big Ten supporters, oh, we don't care, we don't, and now they're peacocking and puffing their chest, right?
Yeah, I made that statement last night on Twitter, and I'm still getting comments and replies from people in Big Ten country telling me how bad the SEC is and the SEC is trash. And, and I said, look, we're having a bad, we're having a bad bowl season for sure. We're 1-3 right now as a conference. We run the table tomorrow. We quickly go to 6-3. And then obviously we would, if that was the case, assuming Georgia and Alabama would both win, we would finish 7-4, and the national championship. So
yeah,
not bad. I got into a question with one of the guys who is clearly a Big Ten fan. And I said, were you saying the Big Ten was a better conference last year when you guys were 3-7 in bowls, including 0-5 in the Big Ten East? And he says he didn't respond to that. And I said, and really, how are conferences looked at? Are they, if you think back, they're not measured by how they play in the bowl games; they're measured by championships. And since 2000, the Big 12 and the Big Ten has won two national championships. The ACC, the Pac-10 has won one, the ACC's won three, and the SEC's won nine. So, I think if most people, if I say to you, Todd, in 2011, what was the bowl records of the major conferences? You wouldn't know, right? But you would say who won the national championship? You'd say it was Auburn or it was Alabama or, that's how we remember things. And so you're right. It's a fun argument. It does get kind of skewed when some of the better teams go to the playoffs because then it's not the 1-1 match or the 2-2 match or the 3-3 match. It's, the 3-7.
Hey, Sean, do you or Bill follow Clay Travis?
I do. Yeah, he has
two great posts. I pulled them up. He said the first one is, in the past 40 years, the SEC has won 15.5 national titles. In college football, the Big Ten has won 2.5. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And the other, he said, that was just funny. After all these bowl wins, I really wonder how the Big Ten is going to do in the playoffs. So anyway, I thought those were pretty good.
Yeah. Well, did you see the tweet I sent? I did like a screenshot of a postcard from Pasadena and a postcard from New Orleans. And I said, dear rest of the college football conference, having a good time in town with our friends from Clemson and Georgia. Enjoyed watching your bowl games this year. Enjoy watching us next year.
Good stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. So it has been a fun.
I'll address. I've been like just fixated on the bowl pool since I got back into it. So, we're in a situation tomorrow where if the games go your way, right? If Notre Dame can win, beat LSU, right? And you had one other game you had to have win.
UCF.
There's your tough one. If UCF, the Knights can beat Auburn, you'll be tied with Todd and I. We'll all have the same amount of wins going into the final two games, the playoff games.
Wow.
And I went non-SEC. You both went SEC. So,
wow. Right.
Yeah. There's still a chance, Sean, you can tie Todd for first.
Right.
It's right there.
Hey, the pool is warm, Sean. Jump in. That's all I
have. Yeah. So it will swing. And, you know, once again, I said 2 weeks ago when we did the picks, I felt the SEC was going to have a down bowl season. And so I need two teams that aren't SEC to beat SEC teams. I need Notre Dame and UCF to beat Auburn and LSU. And
I just need Oklahoma and Clemson to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And Sean, let's talk about we both went to an SEC school. The one win, Mississippi State, was probably the most unlikely one, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, all of us picked Louisville. All of us picked Louisville. And you know, Lamar Jackson did what Lamar Jackson does. I mean, he had an incredible game. He was helped mightily by that 145-yard completion that Todd, you were going ballistic over. It was an absolute miss of epic proportions by the refereeing crew from the Big Ten. Todd, why don't you sort of set that up? Because Bill, I don't know if you saw it or not, or maybe you saw it on the highlights.
Yeah, highlights.
Yeah.
God, so I needed a little bit of a pacifier yesterday. Admittedly, I was a little distraught. So in our college bowl pool, actually Jenny is leading the college bowl pool. So I was rooting hard for her because she had Mississippi State. But so on one play, Sean and Bill, talk me through if I'm missing any details. But basically, I saw three missed calls on one play. They called a late hit, and the guy was clearly in bounds. His foot was all green. There wasn't even a part of him out of bounds. And they called a late hit. Two, he fumbled when he was, I guess, trying to get away from the tackle. The ball's flying out of the air. Again, foot in bounds, everything in bounds. And the third miss was they didn't review any of it, right?
Yeah.
I think you can't really review a late hit. That's just a judgment call. I get that. But I think a fumble clearly recovered by Mississippi State is reviewable. So that set me off. And there was one last night. The phantom touchdown.
Oh boy!
Who is that, Sean? You remember what I'm talking about? He was two. He was a foot away from the pylon, and they reviewed it, and they said,
"Oh yeah, that was Wisconsin Miami, yeah. I think." Yeah.
Yes. So.
And there wasn't even that plane of the goal line that goes on for infinity. You know, on either side of the, because no part of his body crossed the pylon.
Yeah, and remember, the plane of the goal line that goes for infinity is upward. It goes all the way up. So if you touch anywhere above the pylon, it's not 30 yards, you know, 13 feet outside.
But there was a play in the – I know it's NFL, it's not college. But Russell Wilson, maybe might have been Colin Kaepernick a few years ago, going out of bounds. It might have been Michael Vick going out of bounds, just grazed his hand over the top. The ball is 3 yards or two, you know, 2 yards outside of out of bounds. But he's in the air when he left. And as long as his hand crossed over the pylon, that's considered a touchdown.
In yeah,
NFL. I think that was interesting. Michael Vick.
Michael Vick. College is different. The ball has to be there.
Yeah, and you know, Bill, it happens every once in a while. It happens every once in a while in baseball where the first baseman will have the ball in his hand and not the glove, right? And there's sometimes an issue of is the ball in the right, you know.
Ball's got to tag him out, not
right,
the ball.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, the ball has to.
Sometimes they're holding the ball and they tag him with the glove.
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
So
guys, let's look at some of the games that happened over the last week. There hasn't been a whole lot of great games. You know, the Iowa Boston College game was very competitive. Purdue Arizona was very competitive. That came down to a Purdue really a beautiful touchdown catch, kind of almost behind the back of the Arizona receiver. All three of us laid an egg on Missouri. Texas
really
took it to Missouri. That was the SEC's opening game in the bowl season. Good to see Navy play well. They played against a 6-6 Virginia team. What other games have stood out to you guys? The TCU Stanford game was a shootout.
Look, I'll jump in real quick. I agree with you. This has been, I love bowl season, always do, but there's been a lot of seemingly dud games, right?
Yes.
So this was, I think last week, I remember the Army game. That was pretty exciting. And I actually have witnesses. I predicted the touchdown 2-point conversion, and they were successful. Yep. And then they did a pick six, or a kickoff. I can't remember, but they scored it and they added on extra touchdown.
Yeah.
Literally, guys, and I, no one loves football more than me, except for maybe you, Sean. I watched Dateline on Friday, right? And then I came back and there was like 13 minutes left in the third quarter. And I think I texted both of you, how long was this halftime, right? I mean, yeah. If I remember correctly, it was a blowout game. And not that I wasn't into, but I was kind of footballed out. And Dateline was really interesting. I can tell you all about it if you want. But anyway, been kind of a dud games-wise, but I think it's going to get good. It was good yesterday. I think it's going to get good tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, you're talking about the Cotton Bowl. It was a very long, very long.
Yeah.
The Belk Bowl was a lot of fun. And I watched almost that whole game. That was Wake Forest and Texas A&M. 55-52 shootout.
Quite a swing of, I think Texas A&M jumped out to a 14-0 lead. Yeah. And gave up 31 straight. Then came back and scored a few, right?
Yeah.
And that was a shootout. That was awesome.
I watched Christian Kirk play in high school. So that's why he single-handedly destroyed my son's high school twice in the playoffs. So it was fun to watch him, mature, not mature. I mean, he's a stud. And if he goes, into the draft this year, they're saying he's a first round pick, the second wide receiver taken. So unbelievable. Nice. Yeah.
Two stand out for me, Sean. One, Michigan State just beat down, right, on Washington State. Again, Big Ten dominating Pac-10. And then what do you think of Kentucky going for two? I think it's a no-brainer in the bowl game, right?
I agree. Yeah, I think I don't, once again, with a quarterback like they have, the run pass option, they, I think the announcers love saying RPO.
Yeah, I learned
that. That run pass option, and they called he just stood in the pocket on that 2-point conversion. I think you've got to move him to make the defenders have two people to cover.
I agree.
The decision to stand there, and then the throw was so bad. I mean, the guy got his hands on it, but it just was I just think they really limited themselves, and it was a good win for Northwestern. That running back for Northwestern is now the 10th number 10 all time in yards from scrimmage. Pretty impressive. Justin Jackson, I think, was his name.
Right.
Pretty impressive. And then last night, Wisconsin, Miami. Well, let's talk about that because there was one ejection and there was one non-ejection. Todd, that's another one you were kind of upset about. Benny Snell from Kentucky gets thrown out by a Big Ten. I'm not sure what those refs were Big Ten. No, they couldn't have been Big Ten because Northwestern was playing. But the referee looked like he was going to help him up. And Benny Snell just sort of pushed his hands away saying, like, I don't need your help. And then the referee just quick triggered and threw the flag and kicked him out. I just thought that was completely unnecessary to throw him out, right?
Mercury must be in retrograde because I was extremely sensitive the last couple of days about all this officiating. And then conversely, people go crazy where Mark Richt last night, right?
Yeah.
Literally all we saw was him. We didn't hear him. So I'm assuming he went to the refs and he held him and then grabbed him. I don't think it was like he was trying to fight him. Just looking at the videotape, a lot of guys would have been run, especially in baseball. Don't bump the ump, right, Bill?
I mean, you can't. And I'm sure you hit it on the head, I think, when you said he grabbed him just like he was showing how he was grabbed.
Right.
How his player was grabbed. But you just can't do that. I mean, you've got to know better. And I love the interview on the way in. I'm not sure who she was, but so what happened there on the sideline? He says, "Watch the tape," and ran away,
and then walked away.
So Mark Richt being in Athens for 15 years, and me seeing pretty much almost every year, so uncharacteristic Mark Richt.
Right.
He's very calm, cool, collected, calculated. He's got a tan now, a goatee. It looks like he's been in all you can eat buffets. He looks like he's packed up. He's a changed man down there in South Florida. I was a little surprised. So
Yeah. So guys, what's your must watch tomorrow? Let's assume we're all going to watch the big ones. You got three games kind of in that 12:30, 1 o'clock. So the remote control will be flipping. Michigan, South Carolina, is probably one that I'll watch because of Riley we'll have on here and see if I think there's a lot of people in Big Ten country hoping that they go 7-1 in the bowls. They'd love to go 8-0, but I think a lot of people, especially here in Columbus, would love to see Michigan be the one that fucks it up.
Yeah.
And keeps it from a perfect record.
So it's definitely UCF for me, right?
Yeah, I think so too.
Down here in Florida, it'll be fun to watch. I can't remember the name of the DB or the running back who claimed how the SEC doesn't know speed. Oh.
Don't give him any bold material, please.
Not a smart comment. So that's fun to watch. So,
Sean, I'm going to be flipping between South Carolina, Michigan, and UCF Auburn. Gosh, I just don't like LSU. It's well documented, and Notre Dame is just kind of annoying, right?
Yeah, just a boring. There's
12-0 and in the mix, great. But for them to be in a major bowl does nothing for me, right?
Yeah,
I'm not a big Brian Kelly guy, so
right. And then what's your thoughts now that we've had 2 weeks since we picked and what's your thoughts on the two big ones, the Rose Bowl, obviously in one of the coolest settings in college football, and then the Sugar Bowl where Alabama has just not had a lot of success under Nick Saban.
Well, my first thought, I'll jump in, is don't fall for the Baker Mayfield being sick hype if you're Georgia, right?
Right.
I mean, we all remember what Michael Jordan did with 103 degree temperature.
Sure.
I'm still pretty comfortable. I think Georgia wins. I think Oklahoma's a great team, but I don't think they've seen a defense like Georgia's, number four overall in the country. Maybe they have statistically, but I weigh that factor heavily. And also, they have a three-headed monster at tailback with Sonny Michelle, Chubb, and Swift. And, Jake Fromm manages a good game. So I like that. I am losing sleep over the Alabama-Clemson. As the wind blows, my mind changes on that. I'm sticking with Alabama on my original pick, but that's going to be the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that could be it's the trilogy, as they're calling it. Different players, obviously. It's kind of interesting. Right. Jalen Hurts, he's lost two games in his career, and people are saying the weak link for Alabama is the quarterback.
Alabama's pretty darn good, right?
He lost the championship game last year on the last second after bringing his team down to score in 90 seconds. And then he lost Auburn this year at Auburn, which is arguably one of the hardest places in all of college football to play.
Biggest robbery there is.
Yeah. And so, Bill, how about you? Would you, if they were on at the same time, would you pick one over the other?
Those two games, oof! I'd watch Baker Mayfield, to be quite honest. I just think it's funny. You're talking to a guy who I grew up in the Dan Fouts era. Dan Fouts and John Jefferson and Kellen Winslow, one of the top offenses ever, probably in all of football. Think about how great that team was, but could never get over the top because great defenses can shut down offenses. And so I get what you're saying, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I just think college is different. I think if a couple of plays goes away, I mean, I think Oklahoma could be in for a big day and have a lot of fun. But my concern is this, that 300 monster you talked about with Michelle and Chubb and Swift, if they could just kill the clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get Baker Mayfield even out there on the field? That's how you beat the Chargers back in the day. You controlled the ball. You never let him get on the field. And so that can happen. But I'm comfortable with that. That's going to be a fun game, I think. Alabama, Clemson, is it okay to be bored with that? Is that weird? I'm like, I pick Clemson just because I don't like Nick Saban. You know that, so
yeah,
it's like Yanks Red Sox. If you don't live,
exactly. Right. If you don't live in one of those states, who cares?
So as much as we'd love for them to be two close games, let's just look at the history of the CFP. Mm. First year, Oregon, Florida State in the Rose Bowl. Oregon pounds Florida State 59-20.
Mm-hmm.
That night game, then Ohio State coming in with Cardale Jones as their quarterback, their third string quarterback, beats Alabama 42-35 in an incredibly exciting and entertaining game. And then Ohio State obviously goes on to beat Oregon for the first CFP title. Then the next year, Oklahoma gets pounded by Clemson 37-17 down in Miami, and Alabama just destroys Michigan State 38-0 for a lackluster, blowout game. Then last year, Clemson beat Ohio State 31-0, and Alabama beat Washington 24-7. Now, that the last 2 years, the national championship games were exciting, as was the Ohio State-Oregon game. It was Ohio State won definitively. It wasn't the last possession game where last year was. But these semifinal games in the past, let me just do a quick math here. 39-point difference, 7-point difference, 20-point difference, 38-point difference, 31-point difference, and 17-point difference. The closest game we've had has been 1 7-point game.
I think, Sean, I think Alabama-Clemson's close tomorrow. I think there's a big potential lopsided in the Georgia-Oklahoma game. Obviously, I'm leaning Georgia, Bills leaning Oklahoma, but I think that's the game that has the exposure to be potentially lopsided.
I agree. It could go either way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If Georgia, completely jumps on Oklahoma, Oklahoma starts pressing and throwing some interceptions, a pick six here, pick six there, whatever. I agree that could happen. And watch, now that we say that, it'll be the other way around.
Here's one factor that just popped in my head. Sorry to interrupt, but this is a little bit old hat for Oklahoma, right? They have experience. This is kind of new waters for Georgia. Do you think that has any effect tomorrow, Sean?
Well, Lincoln Riley has not been the head coach in a game like this before. Kirby Smart has not been a head coach, but Kirby Smart's been in a lot of these games. Lincoln Riley's obviously been in these games too, working under Stoops. So all four of the coaches, I think, have experience in the spotlight. But you're exactly right. There was a run there, Todd, if I pulled up the national champions, where I think four straight years, a coach in their second year at a school won the championship. That would be Kirby Smart this year.
Urban
Meyer did it. Jim Tressel did it. Bob Stoops did it. I think, I don't know if Les Miles did it or maybe Chizik did it, but it's very possible that Georgia could be the team that, kind of fits that mold. And, there's something about you in that second year, if you're not getting your teams where they need to be, statistics say you're probably not ever going to get there.
Yeah. Wow.
And so that's why it'll be interesting for us to watch, Mullen in the next 2 years. He's got to find a way to get to Atlanta and give them a chance to get in the playoffs.
So Lincoln Riley has a chance to be, I think Larry Coker won his first year at Miami. Other than that, not a lot of first year coaches win, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And Coker very much in the same boat.
He inherited
inherited a team that just played very, very well.
Was that 0-1 versus Ohio State? Am I remembering that correctly, Sean?
That was versus Ohio State, right? He won it the year before, and then they were going to come back, and they would have been two-time back-to-back champions had they beat Ohio State in that Fiesta Bowl, in, I guess, what was called the BCS game. So, all right, guys, so college football, keeping our attention. And so let's turn to the NFL. Last week in the NFL, games are going on right now as we speak. I think, Todd, you called it last week, 9 late games.
Yeah.
Setting all the morning games or the early afternoon games really had no impact on the season. Patriots locked up the home field advantage. Philadelphia, who had already locked up home field advantage after their lackluster, boring game last week, they lost to the Cowboys in a 6-0, just boring game. And then the Steelers won. So once again, but Steelers win or lose, they were going to be the number two seed, with New England routing the Jets and a couple other games. Bill, what game has your attention this afternoon?
Well, I don't want the Seahawks to make it. I'm not a Pete Carroll fan. So
I agree.
Yeah, so I love the fact that the Cardinals are out early up on the Seahawks and and the Falcons are up on the Panthers. So I just, for Todd's sake, we want Atlanta in there. So that's kind of what I'm watching the most. But, of course, I'd be silly not to say I wasn't kind of wondering if the Chargers somehow get in there. Mm-hmm. But the Bills are up. They need the Bills and the Titans to lose, and they have to win. So we'll see.
Hey, Todd, I think what Bill just said was you can take the boy out of San Diego, but you can't take San Diego out of the boy.
We have
for 16 and a half weeks, we have video evidence and audio evidence of him rooting against –
I didn't say I was rooting for him. I'm watching.
I see a softer side of Bill.
I own the tape. I'll replay it. I never said that I was rooting for him. It has my interest.
Got it.
Because Sean, for me, obviously Atlanta. I'd love nothing for them to get in the playoffs and get hot. They have been just dancing and skating. If they get hot at the right time, who knows? You make another run. The obvious, not the obvious, the other team that I'm really interested in because, you know, family is Buffalo, right? They need to win. And if Baltimore loses, now I'm born in Baltimore, but for some reason I don't have that affiliation with Baltimore. I lived there for only 2 years of my life. So I'm hoping that the Bills win, Baltimore loses, and the Bills make the playoffs.
So what is the order then? If Baltimore wins, they're in, right?
Yep.
If Tennessee wins, they're in, or if they lose, are they out, or are they in for sure, Tennessee?
That's a great question. Let me look real quick here, Sean. Yeah.
The only one I know for sure is the Chargers need two losses. They're the sixth seed if they get in.
So they need the Bills and Baltimore to lose.
No, Titans.
They need the Titans to lose.
Yeah, okay. The Titans are the other
– So then the Titans aren't in if they win then.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's the Titans, not the Ravens we're worried about, right?
Okay. So
I think the Ravens are locked up at 9 and – well, you're looking at it, Sean, or Todd.
I may be wrong, Sean, but I thought if Buffalo wins and Baltimore loses, they're in. But in the wild card, Buffalo is the fourth seed. It has Baltimore, Tennessee, Chargers, and Buffalo. So
yeah, Ravens and Titans are 5 and 6 right now.
Wow.
So okay. They both win. They're in according to the way they've got it seeded in the wild.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know how Buffalo would leap over the Chargers.
Well, Chargers lose. Because they're both
Bills have to win and then have Baltimore and LA lose. Is that what needs to happen?
Okay. The Bills need the Titans and Chargers to lose, just like the Chargers need the
Titans. Yeah. So interesting to see what happens if all four of them lose. I guess then Titans and Baltimore goes in. Stays the same.
Yeah.
Interesting. Not the way you want to go into the playoffs. but once again, you're going to go in going to Jacksonville as a sixth seed. I think most people would, you know, if I told you at the beginning of the season, you get to play at Jacksonville in the first round of the playoffs, I think a lot of people would take it. Now, Jacksonville's got a very good defense.
They do.
And it just kind of depends on what Blake Bortles you get, right?
Yeah.
So, Bill, if you want, I could look up Chargers scenario, but I just looked up the Bills NFL playoff scenarios. The Bills make the playoffs if one of these strings happen. Bills win and Ravens lose.
Okay.
Bills win and Chargers loss or tie and Titans loss or tie.
Yeah.
Bills tie and Chargers loss and Titans loss. Oh my God, I need a this is like school.
Yeah, but they have to beat Miami. They have to beat Miami.
Yeah, they got to win. Yeah, they're
still win. Yeah, I think they're out if they lose.
Correct.
So no, well they can tie technically, but yeah, they got to win or tie, and if they tie, the Chargers and Titans have to lose. So.
Wait, where's Donovan McNabb? You can tie. You can. There awesome. Can be a tie.
That's awesome. That's great.
So,
I can look up Chargers. So
we'll wrap this up in the next few minutes, and we'll all get to watch these games. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, there's not much else to talk about. A little bit of hockey. And Todd, does the EPL do anything for New Year's? I mean, they're not close to their end of the season, right?
No, they're 21 games in, and it's a 36-game season. It'll go all the way through early May. But they had a huge Boxing Day. It's huge. I actually did a little research on what Boxing Day is. But I think every team in the league played on Boxing Day, which was Tuesday. And there's a lot of teams that play this weekend, and there's like Arsenal played today and they're going to play on Tuesday. So they do a lot of holiday football. But yes, nothing's changed much. Manchester City's still absolutely running away with it. So
hey, can I ask you a question? Did Yeovil Town play on Boxing Day?
I don't know who Yeovil Town is, Bill.
I'm sure
they might have, though.
It's Matthew Shadbolt's hometown.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So they're in the fourth league down, but you don't pay attention to that?
Fourth division? Yeah. Not a lot.
Bill, do you follow the Woodbat League in Cape Cod?
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. Remember when Bryce Harper played there for a little bit? That was great. No.
That's awesome. All right, boys. So one thing I want to say, Bill, I don't know if you noticed as the ESPN started covering the Big Six games, I think on Friday's Cotton Bowl. I don't watch commercials a lot, but there was one commercial that caught my eye. Did you know which one I'm talking about?
Boy, I don't. I will when you say it.
The Masters promos are out.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's for people like you. sitting in 0 degrees with snow on the ground. I never really got that living in Phoenix and San Diego my whole life. Now I'm like, what do you mean spring has sprung? We never stop playing golf here.
Snowy spring.
Something special just when they start showing the little yellow flags waving and they talk about, you know, the Masters of tradition like no other.
Yep.
And it's coming, you know, it'll be here soon. And I'm so excited because next week we start, you know, we'll start talking about, you know, the first PGA playing tournament.
Yeah. That'll be in Hawaii. Yep. That'll be great.
Yeah. So very, very exciting and see what happens. So we could probably call it a quick show because unless Bill or Todd, you did any work this week, I think we've all just kind of been hanging close to the home office. Is that right? And I guess we can maybe preview. Todd, what do you got coming up this week? After Monday, get back to business. We got to start setting our alarm clocks and taking it seriously and trying to start off on a good foot, right?
Got to hit the ground running Tuesday, right? I'm in true sales, and the theme song, if you're a salesman, is Janet Jackson, What Have You Done For Me Lately, right? So all the beauty and successes are shortly celebrated. It's time to make hay. So that said, this week after starting Tuesday is going to be what I call a setup week. I'm going to kind of get my sea legs back and start scheduling appointments and fine tune goals. You know, obviously we've been off for a while, but it's always in the back of your head. And it's what gets us up in the morning. So it's been a nice little break. I'm actually well rested, and there's a nice part of me that'll be looking forward to getting back to the routine. So
nice.
I'm looking forward to Tuesday, Sean.
Good, good. Bill, how about you, buddy? What's on the schedule? And do you have a real estate session show this week? Is Ryan Bocross going to be the?
Yeah, Ryan Bocross is our guest this week. And I don't know if I teased this before, but the week after is going to be Joshua Zirkle. Do you know that name? Joshua Zirkle.
I don't know.
He is the director of global community and outreach for Evernote.
Oh, cool.
So I'm an Evernote certified consultant. He's the guy that runs that unit. And I thought it'd be really fun to have somebody on there talk about Evernote. It's kind of where at the beginnings and how it works with real estate. That's 2 weeks or a week away. I'm sorry, a week away from Tuesday. But Ryan Bocross.
Is the interview in the can already?
It is. Yeah, it's ready to go.
It is. Okay. I'd be curious to know as far as the user base, what percentage are real estate agents versus what other industries?
Well, their user base is pushing 70 million people around the world.
Is that right?
It's massive. So yeah. So it's, you know, I think in the real estate space, there are definitely some uses for it. But real estate-based CRMs tend to kind of take precedence.
Sure.
So, but I know some realtors who completely use Evernote and Gmail for their entire online.
You know, yeah, kind of, you know, there's a lot of people that use it, you know, on a regular daily basis for everything, all client communications. And I've used it. I just can't. It's not like a consistent usage of it that makes me, you know, live by it.
Yeah, I use Getting Things Done, David Allen's strategy for zero inbox, combined with Evernote, the Stacey Harmon, who is just a genius with this stuff put together. And it just controls my day. I love it. So
nice. Yeah,
it works well. So that's coming up. You know, I did want to point out, you know, in prepping for Inman coming up for us in less than a month now.
Yeah.
I went out and bought an overcoat today.
Did you?
I don't own one. Why would I own an overcoat?
Sure.
So
you guys can do a good job keeping that alive in social media. I've noticed a lot of mentions.
We have to. Yeah, it's part of our job, right, Sean?
Yeah, part of our responsibility as ambassadors. I think Bill and I do it better than quite a few others that I've not seen Word One. Yeah, I haven't seen Word One. But so are you staying local next week, Bill, or are you heading out south?
Stay here. I don't go down south till the week before Inman.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm here. Actually, I'm doing some work with MailChimp, you know, for some of the sales team. We're going to try and going into the new year, do a little bit of more effective management of their lists. They're making sure we get the right information out at the right time. And it's a cool tool, simple to use. And I'm teaching some of the sales team how to be effective with that. So
cool. Yeah. Cool. Let's talk offline. I got a pretty cool presentation I call Operation Reach Out.
Oh, cool.
And each of the letters is an acronym, but each of the letters, R-E-A-C-H-O-U-T, stands for like ways to, you know, do something to touch your base. So
awesome. I love it.
You put that to an Aretha Franklin song. Are you?
Yeah, I could do that.
He did that in college, by the way, Bill.
I follow his presentations. He uses acronyms a lot. So
I do use acronyms a lot. Yes.
It's a good thing. It's well done. So what's your week like?
I've been working on my week is a home week, but it's a lot of prep week. You guys might be able to see if I show you the kind of the wall up there. Those are all the presentations I got to kind of get decked out.
Nice.
So I've been working on a couple this week that are going to come up in the second week, the week of January 8th. I kick off my year with the Toledo Realtor Association Leadership Retreat. And we are doing the leadership lessons from the Yellow Brick Road. It's kind of dig into we use Wizard of Oz as our base, Bill. And we talk about how teams are built through unknown people and a wide variety of people. And you have to follow a path and you have to have a destination in mind.
How do you bring in the flying monkeys? What are they? All the noise out there?
They're obstacles and, nice. And fears.
Nice.
But really what it boils down to is when you're put in a position and you know where you want to get to, you have to assemble a team of misfits, so to speak, and you have to overcome your witches that are standing in your way.
Nice.
And you have to use your brains and your heart and have the courage to make the right decisions to get to where you want to go.
Wow. Yeah. Spectacular.
So, it's a good leadership one.
Good.
And then I'll stay in Toledo for another day and work with a big company up there for a kickoff event. And then I get to head down to Florida, to Jacksonville, for the bar camp over there, Bill.
Nice. What's the date on that?
It's on January 12th. Good session at University of North Florida.
I'll look at my calendar. I would love to try and just day trip it up there.
Yeah, be cool. Let me know because I think it's sold out, but I think probably I could get you a pass with Kim, because you're not there as a speaker, so I could probably squeeze you in. No worries.
Okay. I'll let you know.
Good people coming from all over the country, as well as people from Craig Wilburn from Gainesville and Alexis Bolin from Pensacola.
I know the Carroll boys would be there, right? I think Brad and Bobby Carroll from Dakar.
Bobby usually comes down, yeah. So it should be fun. So I'm excited, guys, to get into the new year. 2018, tonight at midnight.
Wow.
So. Hey, Sean, real quick, tell your Toledo crew they let me down, man. That was my 40-point bowl pick. They lost to Appalachian State 34-0. I lost to Appalachian State 34-0.
Oh, my
God. That's awesome. Mac is whack, yeah.
It always comes back to sports, I guess, right?
It does, because sports, right?
That's it.
By the way, there was a couple cool videos and stuff we sent to each other that happened over the holidays, some of the cool videos. And you saw the what was the one I sent you guys? Was it the
I remember it was good. I just can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of which one I sent you, but
I can look real quick.
Oh, one of them was the it was a real heartwarming the two getting together. Magic and
Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Very, very cool that they kind of, put down their animosity and
buried the hatchet together. Way up.
Yeah.
Way up.
Yeah. And yeah. Those awesome guys back at Michigan State and Indiana back in the day. So, and Bill, one more shout out. Your team was the last team to go down as the last undefeated. Both went down yesterday.
Arizona State.
I thought that was very, very classy of Jay Wright, the coach of Villanova, to send a nice tweet out to Butler basketball for the great effort and the great atmosphere. So
there's nobody undefeated in the top 20.
No more undefeated. So TCU lost yesterday to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And then Villanova lost to Butler, and then Arizona went down. And I like the way they always kick off the season against each other. That's kind of cool.
Not all the time. It just depends. And so this is it's a great atmosphere. I've been to games both at U of A and in Arizona, basketball games. So much fun. They were there to the end. I was listening to it, as I mentioned. I couldn't watch it because of the stupid Pac-12 network, but listened to it. They lost by 6, two possession game.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how they bounce back. Young team.
Yeah, well, we got a couple of weeks where college basketball is going to start taking a little more center stage. Golf and college basketball will be a big focus on here on the stare down. So,
John, I think real quick, I think in basketball, being undefeated is really big, no big deal at all. I think it takes pressure off. You always want to win as many games as you can, but gosh, losing in January or end of December is really not a big deal, right?
No, not at all. And I'll tell you what, I was at the Lucas Oil Stadium when Kentucky rolled in there, 33-0, 34-0.
Yeah.
It was really cool to be at that game versus Duke, but it was also one of the biggest letdowns you've ever seen when they lost that game. We got back to our hotel, which was the Kentucky Hotel, and people were already checking out. The town just was not as electric as it would have been had they faced Wisconsin. I guess they lost to Wisconsin. Duke beat Michigan State. But either way, it would have been just going into that last game to see if they could achieve greatness. So I agree with you. Play good teams. If you lose, you lose, right? Like Florida's lost quite a few, and if they can somehow find a way to get Johnny Boudinou back.
Hey, when I was 12 years old, Sean, I was in a basketball league, 11-game season. We were 10-0, lost the last game before the tournament. And my dad was the coach, and he said, guys, pressure's off. And it just popped in my head. We ended up winning the tournament. So I knew there was some deep-seated reason why. So anyway.
Hey, Sean, next week, you and I are playing a drinking game. And you know what we're going to cue the drinks on, right?
Every time Todd says
real
one
quick.
More thing.
Real quick. I'd be hammered. I'd be falling over the balcony right now.
I'm trying to govern myself, Bill. I'm trying to govern myself. So.
That's awesome. It wouldn't be you, Todd. It wouldn't.
Love these words and all, right?
That's a signature move. Well, hey, guys, right. It's always fun. It's been a great year, the stare down. We went wire to wire. Todd joined us late in 2016, rode all season with us in 2017. It's always fun chatting with you guys, whether it's afternoons, evenings, off days, or regular Sunday locations. Thanks, guys, for being great co-hosts and chatting sports with us and talking a little bit of real estate. All right, on behalf of Bill and Todd, I'm Sean Carpenter. Thanks for listening to The Stare Down.